This is Melting Titanium number 48, recorded on March 9th. Copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated. All rights reserved. We're starting at 6.04 p.m. Hawaii time.
Good evening. There he is, folks, our co-host, our star, our stalwart, energizer, catalyst, and nincompoop sometimes. There we go. So let's get the party started. Excellent. There you go. Well, it's great fun. We want to welcome all of our players.
Players, that's right.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. It's always great fun.
That song grows on you. It's a nice emotion of multitude or something.
Yeah, it's very, very amazing. If you listen to what the words actually say, it gives you a good example of love. I don't want to be your friend. I want your disease.
That means, ironically, love is an emotion.
No, that means that love is a force field. Because the whole song is, I want your love, 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 love. I don't want to be your friend. I want your disease.
And the disease is the force field?
No, it's a lack of ease. It's a bad romance.
Okay, but it's a force field of negativity.
It's the way to explain that love is not an emotion, that it is the equivalency of a bad romance. But what she wants is, she wants the love, 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 love.
Does she want emotion?
No, she wants the force field of love.
Why is she calling it a disease?
She's not calling it a disease. She's in a bad romance, so she wants the disease. Lack of ease.
She wants the lack of ease, which is the condition she's already in.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
So love as a force field is dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
Love is dis-ease.
So if you understand the dynamic of it, then it most absolutely, more times than not, will be found in a contrasting place of knowing.
This force field evokes dis-ease.
No, 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 no. Nah, we ain't having none of that.
In her, it does at this moment in time.
Wait a minute. It's not being clear, is it, Carol? We don't know what...
Yeah, I just told you what it was.
What? What are you saying?
In her, it evokes dis-ease at this moment in time.
Is the bad romance emotion, love?
No.
The force field?
She's asking for love, and what she's involved in is a bad romance.
Which is an emotion? I mean, what's bad about it?
Well, that she's wanting love, and instead she's in a bad romance.
She wants love as a force field, and she's involved with emotion.
Right, and that's the equivalent of a bad romance, a la the name of the song.
And so that's a disease?
No, she's asking for the lover's disease. She wants to catch the lover's disease, and she's going to be stuck in a bad romance.
If she doesn't catch the disease, she is stuck in a bad romance.
No. She's asking that if she's got to be in a bad romance, she wants the disease.
Which is already happening with the lover.
Well,
it sounds like she doesn't want to get out of it.
Then you can just look at the lyrics and you
can... No. We got to deal with, I want your disease. What is that referring to? If she's in an emotional situation, she wants a force field, and then she wants his disease, why...
Right.
Doesn't she want his force field?
No, apparently not, because this is a bad romance. And what she's asking for is, I want your love. Love, 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 I want your love.
And she's interpreting it as emotion.
And instead, she's in a bad, bad, bad romance.
Yeah, because we're dealing with love as an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So she's admitting, I don't want love as a force field. I want love as an emotion or dis-ease.
So if you get caught in that particular place, it's a delicious, wonderful song. The human creators just love it, and we do too. We don't want to push against anything. But if you were asking, instead of asking for in caught in the fragments of a bad romance, of wanting the love, we say use these words continually. If you want to do it as a prayer, this would be all right. My non-physical... complete ascended power of beingness. Relieve me from the false premises of evil, for mine is the power and the glory eternally. Selah.
What's Selah?
Hebrew for amen. Let it be.
So she's looking for a contrast. She's looking for the non-love. She's looking for emotion, and she's calling it disease. She knows she's looking for the wrong thing.
She doesn't care.
Why doesn't she care? She's so desperate.
She's not desperate. She wants your love, and she's so in love she can write a bad romance. It actually zooms in and out back and forth. That's why it's such a fun song, because it's not the best way to do it, but it's how humans do it most.
And what is it that they're doing? A mistaking a force field as emotion.
Exactly. There you go. So when you get caught in that place, you might find yourself pining to catch the lack of ease of your lover.
And the lover has lack of ease because they're interpreting love as an emotion also?
Mm-hmm. Never works long as an emotion.
It doesn't.
Right, because how do you unlove?
But they think it is an emotion. They think it lasts a long time.
Yeah.
So this person, the character that she's singing about, this person who wants the social disease, they're literally confused about what they want. They want disease, and she means by that emotion? Can we agree on that?
No.
What does she mean by disease?
If she's going to be in a bad romance, all she wants is love. Love, 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 love. But she's wanting the dynamic of portraying this bad boy, bad romance situation. You and I could write a bad romance. So if it's going to be a bad romance, then I want your less thanness. I want your disease. You'll always be a criminal as long as you're under my power kind of thing. It's that whole twisting dynamic that the activists or the stimulus of what you think love is, if you apply it to an emotion, then it's a bad romance. If you can just get it as a force field, like when if you watch the video, which is actually very wonderful, with the diamonds suspended in midair around her, if love is a force field, then you can get the love, 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 love. It's being portrayed of how humans do it.
And it's all wrong.
Correct. And so it's all I want is your love, 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 love.
But when humans want love and they're doing it wrong through emotion, they don't call it bad romance. They don't know it, though, and don't call it a disease.
Well, but they'll figure it out, the contrast. They'll freely allow that contrast in their experience, and they'll figure it out or not.
Is the author of the song conscious of the mistake and wants to do it anyways, or is just totally confused? Lady Gaga, the author, was she confused when she wrote this?
Great day, no. She actually gets it.
She's making fun of those that don't get it.
Because if she said the words the way we would say the words, nobody will, a handful would get it. And she just takes and says, well, all of you are monsters, and the bitch is back, baby.
The bitch is back, baby? She says that?
That's a line in her song.
Oh, okay. So what does she imagine a force field is?
A controlled environment where she controls her reality and allows, by the art of relaxation, all of her joyous, sustaining, manifesting, not necessarily completed, because she's still figuring it out, and that's okay, of her place in her world. And when she quit trying to run everybody else's world and started getting happy with her world, it got real good real fast.
I have one more part to play. You know, this phenomenon of people dying 18 months after I show up in some context? Well, I actually asked Ian, what the hell was this? How come I was killing people? And it's funny what Ian says. Some part's funny. So I think we should play that.
Although you have put a lot of the non-physical representatives in human form out of business over your life, by the way, I will be happy to bring that point up.
Okay, now that's something I do know. I have a tendency to show up on a scene and kill it.
Pretty much, yeah. They write blogs in effigy regarding you.
I even noticed a pattern that in New York, if I met some famous guy like Allen Ginsberg, he'd be dead within a year and a half. So what is it about me that has that ability?
All hail the powerful name.
Yeah, how did that happen? The power bomb, how did that happen?
I don't know. He doesn't know. Allen, are we powerful? Yes, Bob, we're powerful.
See, you redeemed yourself. You came up with it. You redeemed yourself by mentioning that, Bob, you put these mediums out of business. That is an interesting pattern. I had sort of secretly noticed that.
I'm why the Gulf is having to empty out, because I filled it up to capacity. That's it. Now, if you guys want to hang around, you better not be talking to me long, because you're not long for this world.
So what is it about me putting... Well, we have to compliment Ion. Ion has not given up yet. It's in the running, meaning this proves that non-physical is, because it survived Bob.
Right, and science is working on it, and they haven't been able to disprove it, so therefore we still are, so that's good.
You want to develop how I have this ability to knock out the mediums? Is because they're not real mediums?
You just wear them out, Bob. You just wear them down. You get down to the point that you say, you're not worthy, you don't say anything, nothing goes anywhere. I don't have any questions. I don't know why I'm talking to you. I call you just to see if you'll answer and see if you're home. And we're going to just see how this long we can drag this innocuous, knowing nothing, figure out nothing. I'm going to see how long it goes until we can't get anyone to answer the phone anymore.
People hear that I've done 1,000 hours with Ion, and they say, man, Bob must have learned a lot. If they actually heard the reason, 1,000 hours of blithering.
They're like 1,000 hours just to see if Bob wanted to play or not.
Did you say Ion did that?
No.
No.
Who? If Bob would play 1,000 hours just to see if he, Bob, wanted to play or not.
I checked it out. I am patient. I checked out Ion for 1,000 hours to see if
patient.
I
would. Patient. Wait a minute. What was my thought? Oh, I forgot. Shut up till I get my thought to you. Okay, you're patient. Yeah, you're patient. You're not a doctor, but you got lots of patience.
How come I keep this cough on? But what neurosis?
Well, it's the same reason you gave it to JW, and he didn't have a reason in the world. Now it's 80 degrees and no heat, and everything's moist and delicious, and everything goes good, and then all of a sudden you get one of your rabbit holes, and it's like all crackly. And then Carol is then, Bob, you've run JW's voice out. It's over. And it hasn't been so hacky, coffee or anything like that. You know, no hawking or spitting or spewing or dripping or wiping or post-nasal or pre-nasal drip. And everything's fine. And you can't hear anything. And then all of a sudden, some caller comes on and they have a delightful, wonderful question. And then immediately the voice changes. It gets all brisk and delicious. It's not dry and scratchy anymore. It's fabulous.
So Carol should realize it's not because JW is tired. It's because Bob has gone into a low-quality interaction.
And we don't like low quality.
See, we didn't even get that finished. I said that.
Nonsensical, logical places of unknowing. There you go.
That's what we're getting with. We are. With.
Well, we. You and the mouse in your pocket is the we that get there, yes.
The weaky?
We.
Is the we that
say we.
See, I'm missing
that's
even the words.
You, Bob, and a mouse.
I think I'm talking myself into a cold. I think we better end this session.
Bob, we must caution you with these words. Your bride is fixing to exit, and you're going to be nursemaiding yourself. We don't suggest it.
Suggest what?
That you talk yourself into chasing of the booger and of the rhinovirus.
Well, I'm not trying to, but I just noticed my nose a little stuffy. I put my new shirt on, or clean shirt.
Oh, well, she's leaving. And
oh, you mean I get sick because she's leaving?
No, you would usher that in, and if you do that, who's going to nurse you?
Oh, I can handle it. I've done this many times.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay, unless there's a final comment from the audience, I think we should end the session.
They appreciate the old college try from non-physical to try to bring Bob up to snuff so they can get some engagement out of this delicious response. And some are wondering and questioning that they've activated their ESP, and now they're kind of questioning why. They're not sure why they engage non-physical. And once they turn it on, it's very difficult. it off, then it becomes that gift that keeps on giving. It's like the voices that won't stop, you
yeah.
see?
Yeah.
Because at least the big troller will wind down after a while. But it's still fun. And we want to give a shout out to all our new listeners. Lovers, it's never this way always. Many times it's together and much more fluid and flowing. So if you don't like this one, we'll change it around so much you're bound to like some of them.
How many people listen tonight?
45,000. Well, it was better when you had the teabaggers from Boston. It was higher then, but when you got in your queries, they sort of dropped off a little bit because they're like, we'll tune back in when Bob's
finished
together.
That guy, the Boston Paul, was a teabagger?
He is.
Well, what do you think of the Roosevelt speech?
He was surprised. He was amazed that you would know that speech.
That I would know it?
Yeah.
I didn't know the famous line, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," came from that speech. I thought it more was during World War II or something. I knew it was Roosevelt because of that line, but I didn't know when it was. So I didn't know much. But I knew how to find out.
That's good. He was amazed. And he was surprised that the words he was asking for were words that were ancient. And if you look at the dynamic, they apply. Even the banking and the currency and the anomaly and the...
But see, that was a president, and no one listens to the president anymore. It's a whole different situation.
Indeed.
That's what the teabaggers are going to find out. They're going to go into power, get power, dismantle it, and then put up with their uselessness, I guess. See, Ion made an interesting comment that's on our rant. And the teabaggers are bringing a new morality and make everything even moral. Like, that sounded like something that I am with.
Legislate. They're going to try to legislate morality.
What kind of morality are they going to try to legislate? Financial morality or private social?
It won't matter. It won't matter.
No, no. What are they intending? Social matter? Social?
Everything. They're going to have moral. What is moral? And they're going to give a definition, and then they're going to make that be the standard. And they've never been able to legislate morality, so.
You like the fact that they're going to dismantle things, but the other parts of their agenda will prove redundant or irrelevant.
Yeah, because they're people, you know. Yeah, no, right.
Ian says, hey, look, don't worry about the government or anything. You're trying to stay here in the physical. That's the, they said, a high bar of activity, what you should go for. And all this other stuff is silly. So Ian talks about what's happening, but makes fun of it.
We don't make a big do about it because, don't worry, that's the thing that's constant, it'll change.
Okay, that's that. Now, I want to play how Ion slides into the famous Roosevelt speech. Not going to play much of the speech, but it's interesting. We're talking about what will be the USA's role in the new world economy. Basically, America's being ignored. It's back in March 9, 2010. So let's hear this.
And the only words that we can think of, there's just a few of them, but let's see how we can go here. We'll ramble on a little bit, but let's see if we can get this correct. I've got to do a little placing here. Okay, here we go. This is Boston's finest, I guess. President Hoover, Mr. Chief Justice, my friends, this is a day of national consecration, and I am certain that my fellow Americans expect on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our nation impels. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honesty facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and vigor has met that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory. again live that support to leadership in these critical days. In such a spirit on my part and on yours, we face our common difficulties. They concern, thank God, only material things. Values have shrunken to fantastic levels. Taxes have risen. Our ability to pay has fallen. Government of all kinds is faced by serious curtailment of income. The means of exchange are frozen in the currents of trade. The withered leaves of industrial enterprise lie on every side. Farmers find no markets for their produce. The savings of many years and thousands of families are gone. More important, a host of unemployed citizens face the grim problem of existence, and an equally great number toil with little return. Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment. Yet, your distress comes from no failure of substance. We are stricken by no plague of locusts compared with the perils which our forefathers conquered because they believed and were not afraid. We have still much to be thankful for. Nature still offers her bounty, and human efforts have multiplied it. Plenty is at our doorstep, but a generous use of its lavish languishes in the very sight of the supply. Primarily, this is because the rulers of the exchange of mankind's goods have failed through their own stubbornnesses and their own incompetence, have admitted their failures and abdicated. Practices of the unscrupulous money changers stand indicted in the court of public opinion, rejected by the hearts of and minds of men. True, they have tried, but their efforts have been cast in the pattern of an outworn tradition. Faced by failure of credit, they have proposed only the lending of more money. Striped of the lure of profit by which to induce our people to follow their false leadership, they have resorted to exhortations, pleading tearfully for restored conditions. They know only the rules of the generation of self-seekers. They have no vision, and when there is no vision, the people perish. The money changers have fled their high seats in the temple of our civilization. We may now restore that temple to the ancient truths. The measure of the restoration lies in the extent to which we apply social values more noble than mere monetary profit. Happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. The joy and moral stimulation of work no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of profits. These dark days will be worth all they cost us if they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves and to our fellow men. Recognition of the falsity of material wealth as the standard of success goes hand in hand with the abandonment of the false belief that